Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Stolen by Ehlers to Wheeler. Back to Ehlers. Scores!
Kyle Connor has the Midas touch right now.
And another outstanding stop by Connor Hellebuck.
Check the shoot. Score! Oh, what a slick move by Mark Scheifele.
Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. Hosted by Jets TV.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets. This is episode 104, and I'm joined by Jets TV's Mitchell Clinton, as always, and CJOB's Jamie Thomas. Guys, I think this is probably the first time in the entire history of Ground Control that we don't have a win to talk about. It's sad, but it's also really impressive. I feel like there was a lot of times in the last few seasons where, you know, the team would be on a bit of a tough stretch throughout the week, and then Sunday night they'd get that win, or Saturday night they'd get the win, so we could have something positive to talk about. But we will do our best here on episode 104. Jamie, I'll start with you. Two losses this week to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, the Jets got that four-day break, some much-needed rest there. But, you know, they weren't able to get it done against Toronto, making it three losses in a row, one to Edmonton, obviously, last Saturday. Just where do you see the areas that the Winnipeg Jets can tighten up? Because I don't think they're that far off.
No, to me, they weren't outplayed at all by the Toronto Maple Leafs. There's just some bounces here and there. Shoddy goaltending on Thursday, which you don't see very often from Connor Hellebuck. That played a large role in the Jets losing that first game. So, you know, Paul Maurice after that game on Thursday talked about the chances were even. I felt the same way on Saturday night. I don't really think there's that many things to shore up. The only thing that to me is kind of taking a step backwards is the power play. It's not as efficient, clearly. They're not moving the puck that well. I for whatever reason, Mark Scheifele refuses to take the one-timer, right? He's been open a couple of times and he holds onto the puck and he tries for that perfect shot. Did it twice this week, Thursday and Saturday, held on to it, looked for that perfect shot to the far post, and it went around the boards and down the ice, so it helped the Leafs out a little bit. So he's not the only problem in the power play. They're just not as efficient as they have been, and maybe we got a little bit spoiled because they do have a top five power play in the National Hockey League. So you don't get a special teams goal in that series against the Leafs, and I think that kind of played a large role in things going, and then a bad bounce. So I'm you're almost reaching here trying to find something wrong with the Jets game. It was just things didn't work out for them this week. I don't think there's that many things to work out. They're working out the kinks as they head into the playoffs here, trying to find the line combinations they want to work with, and certainly rotating in that sixth defenseman right now, trying to find the right pairing as they head to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's such an interesting approach to these last 10 games here, and it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. Mitch, kind of dovetailing off of the three losses, you know, I think in all aspects of life, you know, having some failure is a good thing. That's how we all learn. So just what is the importance of facing some adversity, especially down the stretch here as you're getting ready for a playoff matchup? You know, all the other teams in this division have gone through this in some fashion or another. So for us to sit here and go, well, the Winnipeg Jets are alone in this category is absolutely untrue. So this is bound to happen. This is professional sports. So I guess my question to you is just, what is the importance of the adversity and how do you think it could play in the Jets' favor?
Two things on that. Number one, Jamie mentioned the bad bounce and the stanch, and I thought it was interesting after the first period on Saturday, shortly after that goal happened, I think it was Doug Neubauer and his crew. I think they were working on something on that one door where the officials come out, and that's where the stanchion was. So I'm sure they were working on something else, but I thought it was kind of funny that they were like, you know, taking a look at it and making sure it wasn't out of place or anything. Because it's one thing to have the bounce go against you, at the Bell Center in Montreal, like it has for Connor Hellebuck twice this year, but to have it happen in your own rink and it's real bad luck. So I thought it was kind of entertaining that the crew was taking a look at that stanchion and kind of pointing at it and pushing on it, making sure it wasn't out of place. Second thing, I remember I was doing the post game show and kind of in between the players and Paul Maurice on Saturday, I was talking about this very topic about how, yes, the Jets have all this evidence of being able to bounce back. And, you know, they have such an impressive record coming off of one regulation loss, let alone when you have the second one. So to have three, I remember I'm sitting there and I'm talking, I'm like, you know, this, adversity, yeah, you don't want to have a three-game losing streak. Absolutely not. But the Jets haven't had this season, and all the other teams in the division have. So it's bound to happen at some point, no matter, you know, what you do. And it can be a real positive in that, you know, as a team, you're able to, you know, come together, you're able to talk things through, you're able to, you know, you come to the rink, make sure you have the right attitude, the right mentality, and then you go to work together as a group, and that can bring you together. And then Paul Maurice came on and said the exact same thing, and I almost felt like giving myself a pat on the back, but on a three-game losing streak, it's not the time to do that. But so yeah, like you said, it's a tough time of the year. But as the game ramps up and everybody kind of ramps up their game at different times throughout the season to get ready for the postseason, we look at Toronto. They came into Winnipeg on a 5-game winless skid, so they're not immune to this. That was part of the reason the Jets had a chance to tie them for the North Division lead had they won the two games. They didn't. Now the gap is 8. Now the focus shifts to the Edmonton Oilers. You have a day on Sunday to kind of, you know, it's an off day in terms of formal practicing, but you have a day to kind of collect yourself and then bring yourself to the rink on Monday for a big game, a big couple of games really against the Edmonton Oilers to close out the homestand.
Before we continue this podcast, if you're wondering, hey, I want to listen to more of these guys, well, you're in luck. We have a Flyby podcast. It's a daily podcast, the official game day podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, hosted by 680 CJOB's Jamie Thomas and Paul Edmonds. They go over everything you need to know ahead of that matchup that day, and then also share a funny hockey story from their times. And Jamie, I've really enjoyed the hockey stories so far. They've been really good.
Thank you. I have been around the league a little bit, so I do have some tales to tell.
So it's a great concept, but I'm interested to know what these stories are going to be like when we get into like episode 90 of said podcast.
Yeah, Paul's really put us under the spot here because every day's got a funny hockey story. I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know. And then you're wondering, have I told this story already? That's the other. I'm a little worried about episode 50. You're like, oh gosh, have I told the story where Jamie McClellan slashed me in the back of the legs when I was doing stand up on the ice? Like, it's just little things like that. So I am going to have to keep track. I'm going to need an assistant to keep track of these things. So it's worked out well. I don't think every time it's going to be funny. That's the thing. Like, not everything that's happened, but I appreciate that. It's a good concept. And, we're going to have to start asking other people their funny hockey stories eventually down the road here.
That's a good idea. You can listen to Flyby everywhere you get your favorite podcasts and everywhere you listen to this podcast. So it's readily available for you when you'd like to listen. Continuing on, Pierre-Luc Dubois, Paul Maurice said after the first game against Toronto that was Pierre-Luc's best game as a Winnipeg Jet. And I think it was pretty obvious. He was all over the ice. And I think he continued that great play on Saturday against Toronto as well, picking up an assist. That first game we were talking about, he had 4 shots on goal. It just seems to be more comfortable out there and being comfortable doing the things that Paul wants him to do. And while everybody wants to see him go top cheese and dangle everybody and put the puck in the back of the net, it's about other things and doing those things well. So, Jamie, what have you seen from Pierre-Luc that's led to some success lately?
Well, that mean streak that I think has kicked in these last couple of games. And as everybody ramps up their games toward the playoffs, I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is kind of ahead of the curve right now for the Winnipeg Jets. We were looking for, you know, in these series, you're like, okay, this game for sure, something's going to spill over. These guys have played each other 7 times, or this is the 3rd time in a row. This game for sure, emotions are going to come out. We saw the emotions come out from Pierre-Luc Dubois in the game on Thursday, and then he brought it again to another level on Saturday against the Leafs. You saw him yelling back and forth with Wayne Simmonds on the bench, and we've been waiting for this. It's been, you know, like the North Division rivalries have not built the way I think the NHL was hoping for. And, you know, this is nothing. And Paul Maurice has mentioned many times, these games are nothing compared to the Central Division matchups that they've had with Nashville and Dallas and even St. Louis. So now to see that on Saturday night heat up like that, now you're like, okay, here are the playoffs are coming. But to Pierre-Luc Dubois, like, it's like another gear, and it must be the Leafs that brings it out of him, because you remember he had that epic playoff performance against Toronto in the qualifying round, where he almost single-handedly put Columbus past Toronto. So he's become a little bit meaner. He's working with Nate Thompson on his faceoffs, and Nate Thompson's had success with Mark Scheifele already this year. He's good on the walls. I think he's already had good chemistry with Nikolaj Ehlers and Paul Stastny. That line to me was the best Jets line on Saturday night. So there's you see these flashes of why the Jets brought him in, why they gave up Patrick Laine and Jack Roslovic to get him here. And you can see why Paul Maurice defended him the other day before the Thursday night game about this is, you know, as a young man, he's still learning the game. And this is what the Jets were hoping for. So when he plays mean and when he plays big and he plays fast, he's a very tough guy to stop.
Mitchell Blake Wheeler obviously returns to the ice with his teammates after a 6-game absence due to the concussion. Just what have you seen from Blake since he's come back? He's looked like a bit of a force out there.
Yeah, you said it quite well. I think that's what he's been. He's got that speed part of his game that, I mean, does so much for the Jets, whether it's on power play zone entry or just at 5-on-5 play. He's been in on the forecheck. He had an assist in his return. The other thing that's also happened is we've had a couple of scares, which is you're just not used to seeing with Blake Wheeler. Like, so, you know, in the game on Thursday, he comes to the bench and almost looked like he was kind of hunched over, whether he's holding a wrist or an arm or whatever it was. And then, so he's coming to the bench and you're like, oh man, like we just got this guy back. He's such a big, you know, leader in the room, leader on the ice. And of course doesn't miss a shift. So that was good. And then there was the hit on Saturday from Rasmus Sandin, and he goes down that reverse hit style, which is clean in terms or legal, I should say, but man, they are scary when they connect the way that they did, especially with Wheeler coming off of a concussion. So thankful he was able to return, obviously. So it's just odd to see, you know, the kind of string of luck that Blake Wheeler's having, but thankfully, you know, he's been able to return each and every time. And obviously having him in the lineup is just another highly skilled forward that the Winnipeg Jets can have in their arsenal against these, you know, teams in the North Division that can put up some points and put up some numbers. And Wheeler's capable of handling his own in the defensive zone and also in the offensive zone. You put him back with Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele, and those guys have some chemistry. I think they'll all want to take their game to another level as things continue to ramp up toward the postseason. But that's a group that, you know, was a big factor in beating the Nashville Predators a few years ago. They're hoping to kind of recapture that as we go here.
Before we slide into our guest chat with Eric Comrie, who collected his 85th victory for the Manitoba Moose, setting a franchise record, let's talk about Wasak night. The night obviously kicked off with the Winnipeg Jets wearing those awesome indigenized jerseys, the great logo that they have there. WASAC stands for the Winnipeg Aboriginal Sport Achievement Center, and they work to connect Indigenous youth with sports and cultural activities and make it more accessible for them. True North donated $62,574 towards the cause as they continue to build those relationships. And if you love those jerseys, which I don't know how you couldn't, and you want to get your hands on one, they are available for auction. That starts on Thursday, April 29th, and it closes on Sunday, May 8th. And you can head over to auctions.nhl.com. I'm sure you'll be able to find those links on our social media when that auction goes live. So that goes Thursday, April 29th. Those go up and then they expire on May 9th. So get them while they're hot, folks. All right, let's go into that chat with Eric Comrie.
Hi, this is Tucker Pullman, and you're listening to Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets.
Eric, welcome to the Ground Control podcast. This is your second appearance on the podcast, but this time around, obviously, really great circumstances. You picked up win number 85 for the Manitoba Moose, making you the franchise leader in wins, passing Corey Schneider. You know, I'm sure you're still processing this, but just how do you put into words what this accomplishment means to you?
It means a lot to me. It's really special. I mean, this is a place I've really felt like it was my home. I feel like it's family here, and it meant a lot to me to be able to play here for a long time and to have my name in the record books is pretty special to myself. And I went to my family as well. They were all texting me and all really happy for me. And it was just actually one of the most fun things was to be able to text a bunch of the old teammates I played with last year and just go through some of the memories and just have some fun talking to them. And that's one of the most special things, just be able to share that moment with a lot of great people that have come through this organization.
Has Corey Schneider reached out at all, or do you know him at all?
I do not know him. I've heard nothing but unbelievable things about him. I hear he's one of the greatest human beings that's ever come in this organization. I hear he's just a top class human being, extremely hardworking guy. I know Rick St. Croix had him here as his goalie coach, and he says nothing but unbelievable things about him. And it's an honor for me to be able to be recognized with such a great goalie and great person.
To set that record with obviously a 3-0 shutout victory, your 10th in the AHL, that puts you third on that list for the Manitoba Moose. You know, is that just sort of a cherry on top?
No, for sure. I mean, I was really just looking to get the win for the team. I know how big it was for the record too, but it was more just, it's funny. You're always just kind of thinking about it period by period, going out there and have a good period that period and take care of that shot. And it's, you worry about the process and let the outcome take care of itself. And that's just what I did all night long. And just so happened that the outcome was a shutout. And that's just even more special for myself.
What did it mean for you to, like, this is kind of a tough question, because what did it mean for you to get that opportunity to go down with the Moose and potentially set this record? Was this record something that you'd sort of, you know, cited for yourself, like, hey, I want to be able to set this, but knowing the circumstances of this year with taxi squads and whatnot, I guess, just what can you say about the opportunity to just get the opportunity?
No, for sure. It's kind of a weird scenario, because end of last year, you're kind of thinking I can do it before the end of the season, because we have a bunch of games left.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the season gets canceled because of the pandemic. So you're kind of like, okay, well, it's just unfortunate that happened. It was kind of a weird scenario. And then all of a sudden come into this year, I get picked up by New Jersey. So I'm like, okay, I'm never even sure if I'll be back in the organization or not. And then all of a sudden get come back here, which is great. And then you're kind of like, well, hopefully I get to play a couple games here just to get some feeling and get that record back. So, I mean, it was throughout the whole year, it was kind of like a weird scenario if it's going to happen or not. And I'm really happy it worked out and just really thankful the Jets to be able to give me that opportunity to go down and play and just, I mean, even like Paul said, just stay sharp and just stay ready to go just in case you never know what's going to happen. And just also because hockey's fun to play and I love playing hockey.
I guess, yeah, just how important is it for guys like yourself, Noj, Tony Nato, to be able to come down and get some game action?
It means a lot to us. I mean, just so I mean, I know we get paid a lot of money to play hockey and practice hockey, but it gets a little boring doing the same drills every single day, practicing. And you're a hockey player because you truly love to play hockey. I think that's why every single guy in this room plays the game, is because we truly love it. And when you get that taken away from you and you can't play the game and all you're left with is practice, it's a little bit hard to describe. It's almost like it's almost like a letdown of emotion, because you're not getting that high every single time for playing a game. So to be able to come down here and just come down and get that experience to play again and just have fun and just enjoy, get that high of adrenaline rush again, it's great for us, and it's what we needed.
So with all of that in mind, like you mentioned, you spent a good chunk of your season on the taxi squad. How do you guys keep that positivity up? Because I mean, just as someone who's on the road with you guys, I watch the way you guys are interacting with one another and practicing, lots of smiles, lots of upbeat attitudes. How do you keep that positivity when, like you said, it's tough?
Well, you got Noj, he's really, really always positive, and that's easy to do. And Tony's the greatest guy ever. He's awesome. We get along really well with him, and I'm just trying to have fun every single day. I like to joke around a lot, especially with the strength coach Wolfie there. So I have a lot of fun with him, give him the gears every once in a while. And I don't know. I think the coaches understand where we are too. So they kind of let us have a little bit of fun on the ice. We have scoring competitions and shootouts and some of that just to stay entertained. And we have some little inside joke games that we like to play. So it kind of keeps us going and keeps us having a great time. I honestly think the guys on the team love it too. I think they truly understand that we're having fun and they're feeding off it as well. So we're all just enjoying the moment as we can.
That's awesome. I know Mark Chipman took some time to chat with you after your win last night. Just what was it like to have that conversation with him, and what can you share about that conversation?
That's really special. I mean, he's an excellent human being. He's done so much for the city of Winnipeg and Manitoba in general. I mean, he's done tremendous, tremendous things. And I've been able to witness first class a lot of the foundations and things he set up around the city. And he's a very special human being. For him to be able to mention me, how much I meant to him. And that's why that was really special for myself. And it's something I will never forget. And it was probably one of the right out there with some of the greatest things that have happened to me in my life.
You know, no one knows the future, but when you were drafted by the Winnipeg Jets, did you just have a special feeling, just whether it was your first dev camp or your first training camp, when you came in, you're like, this is a place where I can grow and become the player I want to become?
Oh, for sure. I think first dev camp, you really truly see the family mentality they have here, whether it's Chipman or just the coaching staff here is just fantastic. And I mean, anytime you're around Mike Keane and Jimmy Roy, I think you're having a couple laughs and you can see that they really enjoy their time here. And I think that's and not only that, but you see the pride they have. You truly see how proud they are of the city, how proud they are of the team, and how much they truly love the organization. And I think you feed off that and you truly understand that it's a special place here and you want to play here.
You mentioned it a little earlier in our chat, being scooped up by New Jersey prior to the season. Just how tough was that knowing that, oh, geez, I might not ever come back to Winnipeg. That's a very real possibility. And obviously the opportunity that lied ahead is a great one. But just how do you balance those emotions?
That's a tricky question because I love Winnipeg so much, but also it was a great opportunity as well. And you always want to see my dream is to be an NHL goalie. I think it's been my whole life. And when I had the opportunity there, that's what you want. It's what you play growing up to be. Yes, I want to be for the Winnipeg Jets, but just so happened that another team came calling and I was lucky enough to get in a game and I got a win there. And it's just, that was special for myself as well this year. And I mean, I'm truly happy to be back, but I was also really happy to be able to play National Hockey League again. I don't know if I would have had that opportunity in Winnipeg. So be able to do that in New Jersey and get that chance. And it's also really, really special for me.
Last couple questions for you here. We've been on the road a heck of a lot lately with the Winnipeg Jets. What keeps you busy? Do you read books? Do you watch sports all the time? Are you a Netflix guy?
I'm a bit of all. I watch a lot of sports. I mean, I watch pretty much every golf tournament. I watch all the college basketballs, all the UFCs, hockey games. I mean, if there's football, I'll watch football. I'll watch the NFL draft. I mean, you name it, I'll watch it. I do like to read. I read a lot of books, a lot of Navy SEAL books. I just enjoy that kind of stuff. I just hang out with the guys a lot. If we have a lounge, I'll play a little ping pong if we get the chance to. I usually win that and try and be outside as much as I can, try and walk around and just enjoy the time.
Eric, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations on that amazing accomplishment. I know as a employee of True North, watching you do your thing, it's been awesome. So congrats.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Shop where the players shop. Jets Gear and TrueNorthShop.com are your authentic team stores. Make sure to stock up on all your favorite Winnipeg Jets and Manitoba Moose merchandise today. Visit one of the 5 Jets Gear locations or shop online at TrueNorthShop.com.
Thank you so much to Eric for taking the time. Gracious as always. All right. Before we get into the back half of this podcast, we are going to mention our healthcare heroes from this week. And the Winnipeg Jets are proud to honor local healthcare professionals for their vital work throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. And this week, the Winnipeg Jets healthcare heroes are members of the Saul and Clarabelle Simpkin Center Personal Care Home Isolation Room. The team put their own health and well-being at risk to care for all isolating residents. Congratulations to the Simpkin Center Isolation Room team, and thank you for your dedication to the health of our community. All right, congratulations to them, and I hope the fight ends sooner than we think it will. So moving into the back half now, the Winnipeg Jets have 3 games on schedule this week. 2 against the Edmonton Oilers at Bell MTS Place. And then on Thursday, is it Thursday? No, it's Friday. Friday in Montreal, a road
it's
game.
All the
please,
same after a while,
please,
Tyler.
Please
it's
get us the on same. The road.
Yeah.
So, Jamie, just your thoughts on the 2 matchups against Edmonton. I think a couple of wins there, and I think it totally changes the narrative of what this homestand has been like. So, just what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, you hope, right? It's just now it's – you have Edmonton and Montreal this week. You're 2-5 against Edmonton, or Edmonton's 5-2 against you. You're 5-2 against Montreal. The North Division makes no sense, and then you can see why it's so impossible to get any type of momentum going, just going back and forth. But you've played Edmonton pretty well, but you've had issues shutting down, same as everybody else in the North Division. It's Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The Jets did a great job against them 5-on-5 for the most part in their last meeting, and they find a way through on a power play. You give them 6 power plays. So to me, clearly the discipline is going to play a big role in these 2 games against the Edmonton Oilers. And then, find a way to get some more traffic in front of Mike Smith, who's been very good against the Jets this year and very good against a lot of teams this year. And then Montreal, you get away from home for a little bit and get on the road. And you've had a lot of success against the Canadiens this year. The Canadiens are reeling right now as Carey Price was sent home from a recent road trip. They are barely holding off the Calgary Flames for that final playoff spot in the North Division when we just thought it was all over and it was automatic that it was going to be Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto, and Montreal in the top four playoff spots. Well, here comes the Calgary Flames at this point too. So a lot to on the line for the Montreal Canadiens, but some great games and some great opportunities for the Jets to keep things going. And we're going to see a lot more of that's shifting in and out of that sixth defenseman. So we'll probably get a good look at Jordy Benn a couple of times this week as well.
Yeah, Mitch, Jamie just mentioned it right there. Just what were your thoughts on Jordy Benn's debut for the Winnipeg Jets and then Logan Stanley coming in on Saturday night?
Yeah, I thought it was, a difficult spot for Jordy Benn. I mean, regardless of when he got back into the lineup, you know, whether the trade didn't even happen and he stayed with the Vancouver Canucks or, but obviously the trade did happen. You know, he was a guy that didn't play for a significant amount of time with everything that went on with the Canucks. So, he came in, played 11 and a half minutes and, paired with Dylan DeMello. And I think, he was, I think exactly as advertised, exactly what Paul Maurice is looking for. Now, Jordy Benn's going to want to, slowly improve. I mean, I think one of the things that Paul Maurice always says with new players coming in is that, you know, when you're first learning kind of a new system, you're doing a lot of thinking on the ice. Whereas, when you're more established with a team and you know the system like the back of your hand, it's almost just like it's just second nature. There's no real thinking. You're just kind of reacting and anticipating what you're seeing on the ice. So the more that Jordy Benn plays, and Jamie and you, Tyler, both talked about that 5-6 pairing and that platoon that we're probably going to see over the next little bit, I think we'll continue to see Jordy Benn get more and more comfortable. Logan Stanley just kind of continues to have a real strong season for the Jets. It's interesting. Paul Maurice kind of mentioning before the game on Saturday that, just because he's 6'7", doesn't necessarily guarantee, physicality on the ice. Neil Pionk is one of the most physical Jets defensemen, and he's nowhere near 6'7", but doesn't give two thoughts to throwing his body around, as we've seen numerous times throughout the season. That being said, Logan Stanley is a guy that can get physical, and some pushing and shoving between him and Wayne Simmonds on Saturday. He's not a guy that's afraid to mix it up. So I think they bring kind of in that way, some kind of a similar element. It seems, at least in one game anyways, that Jordy Benn has played with the Jets, that Logan Stanley seems to shoot a lot more pucks. That's just kind of been a theme with Logan Stanley's game this season. But other than that, I mean, you got two guys that definitely seem capable of handling the job.
Speaking of a lot of pushing and shoving, there was some serious battles going on between Nikolaj Ehlers and Joe Thornton.
Yes.
And fun fact, so if for those that don't know, the Toronto Maple Leafs this season are being followed around by the Amazon All or Nothing crew. They're basically a behind-the-scenes sports all-access show. And I guess Joe Thornton was mic'd up last night. So I am looking forward to that episode.
Yeah.
And who knows if even some of that stuff is fit for the streaming services and whatnot. But so keep an eye out on that. I don't know when it comes out. I'm assuming it'll come out sometime next year.
Don't worry, the media will let us know.
Oh, right. Yes. The Toronto media. All right. Before we wrap things up, a special shout out to Cole Perfetti and the rest of the Manitoba Moose. They're on a 5-game win streak right now. Cole Perfetti had a goal and 2 assists on Saturday night. He's got 11 points in his last 5 games. The kid is cruising. He's barely 19 years old. So shout out to him and the rest of the crew down at the Manitoba Moose for all the great work that they're doing right now. That's all for us. On behalf of myself, Jamie Thomas, Mitchell Clinton, and Eric Comrie, thank you so much for listening to Ground Control. We'll see you next week.
This has been Ground Control, the official podcast of the Winnipeg Jets, hosted by Jets TV. For Jets news, videos, and more, head to WinnipegJets.com.